The sheriff approached the farmer and he said, I have heard that your vote was bought in the last election. And the farmer said, no, I voted for him because I like him. And the sheriff said, I have proof that he paid you $50. And the farmer said, hey, if somebody gave you $50, wouldn't you like them? Okay. Some weeks are worse than others. I was going to say some weeks are better than others, but that's probably not true. Some are just worse than others. I'm an idiot. And I live in Kentucky, and that makes it worse. Not because there's not enough competition in Alabama for idiots, and not because there's no competition in Kentucky for idiots, but because I got my hopes up during basketball season this year. You know, Alabama, as you may have heard that I'm an Alabama fan. I don't know if anybody has heard that rumor, but it's true. And so, we won our 17th national championship this year, in case you haven't heard, in football. And it wasn't really a big deal up here because, I don't know, I think y'all have something against sports. You play outside or something. But basketball season came around, and, you know, we had a pretty good recruiting year. We had Colin Sexton, one of the best players in the country. And we had some pretty good guys returning from last year. We got a new coach, you know, it's his third year. Things are going along pretty good. The season starts out pretty well. Get my hopes up a little bit. And then not so much. And we lose 5 in a row, and it looks like we're not even going to make the tournament, you know. And so I think, you know, you're an idiot because you get your hopes up, and then you get them crushed during basketball season. But it's, as we say in Alabama, it's March, but September is coming. So it's not all bad news. And that's kind of where the Israelites were. They had, that's a long stretch, I know, but they had got their hopes up. You know, they were out of Egypt, and they were promised this new land and this new life. And so, you know, in the story, how they had been slaves for 400 years, and they've cried out to God, and God finally sends Moses to lead them out of this place of misery and bondage and oppression. God sees their misery. He hears their cries. He cares about their suffering, and he rescues them. And so they come out at the Passover. God delivers them. They take this big risk. They gather their children. They gather their flocks. They plunder their neighbors, and they leave Egypt. And they go out into the wilderness, out into the desert. And they're there for a couple of weeks, and they start to, you know, feel like Moses is wandering around, and they end up at the border of the Red Sea there, and they look around, and the Egyptians are behind them. And this was not how this story was supposed to go. They have followed God. They've trusted him, and now they find themselves with their backs against the wall. It is a situation that they don't know how to get out of. And they begin to panic. There is this despair that spreads among the people. Why didn't we just die in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here? It would have been much better if we had just stayed slaves than daring to come out here. And I think that happens to us in our lives. We start to, even as, especially maybe as Christians, we have this idea of what it's going to look like to follow Jesus. And we begin to follow him, and we think we're doing the right thing, and it doesn't turn out very well. Our hopes get crushed, and we find ourselves with our backs against the wall. We put our hopes in a relationship or a marriage, and it doesn't work out. It either fails or it just is not what we hoped it would be. We put our hopes in our children, and maybe they don't turn out the way we had hoped they would either. We put our hopes in a new procedure or a test, and then the results come back, and it's not what we hoped it would be. We put our hopes in a new job that will make us feel fulfilled or give us meaning or give us happiness, and it turns out that it's not such a great thing after all either. We put our hopes in a politician, and they disappoint us. We put our hopes in doing the best we can, and it's not enough. And that's kind of where the Israelites found themselves, in this place of not knowing where God was, thinking they had done the right thing. They took the risk, and they followed him, but they found themselves in this place of despair. And you know, that's not so unusual in Scripture. That happened pretty often. Think about Job, which is the obvious example. It says he was a righteous man, upright. And in his own mind, in his own conscience, he couldn't find things that he had done wrong. But he had misery that you could not measure. He lost his flocks. He lost his herds. He lost his crops. He lost his children. He lost his health. Not because he did anything wrong, but because life is hard. There was Jonah, who, you know, he was kind of a reluctant prophet, but he was a prophet. Went to the city of Nineveh. You know, it's like kind of like the Las Vegas of the day. And he goes there and he preaches and they repent. And they come to turn around and begin to believe in God. And Jonah despairs. And he says, you know, I wish I were dead. He's so discouraged. And the story of Elijah, who had this great victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, and he calls down fire out of heaven. God responds and does this miraculous thing and gives him this great victory. And all the people of Israel are now following Elijah. And the very next day, he runs for his life. And he runs as far as he can run. And when he's so tired he can't take another step, he sits down under this tree and he says, God, if you love me at all, you'll kill me and put me out of my misery. Think about Jeremiah, the prophet, who was doing what God wanted him to do. But we know him as the weeping prophet because his own people despised him, made fun of him, persecuted him because he was doing the right thing. The thing that God called him to do. And think about Jesus. He said to his disciples in the garden, he said, I am full of sorrow to the point of death. And so sometimes I think we get this idea that God's will is always going to be comfortable and pleasant and successful. And that we fail and we get discouraged because we did the wrong thing. And sometimes we fail and we get discouraged when we're doing the right thing. Because we live in a world that has a lot of misery in it. In the prayers of the people we talked about, we prayed and remembered some of those sources of misery in our world. Just some of them. And it's a pretty heavy thing. And I think part of the reason that the church is not as effective as it could be is because we are afraid to mourn with those who mourn. We think God's will should always make us happy and comfortable. But sometimes God's will calls us to enter into the suffering of our neighbors. To be willing to bear the burden of those who have their backs against the wall. To be willing to walk with them in the valleys. To identify with people who suffer. God calls us to love, not in the easy ways, but in the hard ways too. Yeah, life's hard for us, too. We can't get around that. But he also calls us to enter into the suffering of the world. And so the question becomes, is our God big enough for this moment? You see, the Israelites, they had the Egyptian army, the greatest army in the world with all their chariots right here. And then here they were in the middle, and the Red Sea was over here. And so they were trapped in this moment. And they thought that there was nothing that could happen, that they were going to die and it was over, because they failed to believe that the God who had rescued them out of Egypt was a God who could deliver them from this moment. And I think we do that. You know, we look around at the world, and if we're honest, it's in pretty bad shape. We look around at our own communities, and there is so much division and poverty and injustice and racism and things that are going on, and we think, you know, is God big enough for this? Or are we just kind of hiding until we go to heaven? And what the gospel tells us and what the Old Testament tells us is that God cares about this world that we live in. And God believes in us, that he can use us in this world to make a difference. He will not give up on this story that he is writing, that he intends to bring to pass, not just for us, but for all mankind. And so the question for us is our God big enough for this moment. In your life, there may come moments when your back is against the wall. For most of us, we will have those moments when it doesn't look like there's any way out. When we can't see how we can get out of this situation, how we can escape. And God says, be still and trust. Believe that I care about you and that I'm present with you. Now, the Israelites had a little advantage over us because they had the Egyptians over here and they had the Red Sea over here. But between them and the Egyptians was the cloud of God. Remember, while they were in the desert, the cloud had been leading them. The angel of God and the cloud of God had been leading them through the desert. And now it says that the angel and the cloud went from in front of the Israelites to behind them to separate them from the Egyptians. And so through this dark night that they spend in this hard place, they have this reminder of God's presence. And maybe that's why you're here this morning. You just need a reminder in this hard place in your life that God is present. I'm not saying I'm an angel. Melinda might say that. No? Okay. And I'm not saying that I may be more like a cloud. But in this place and in the presence of God's people is this reminder that we are not alone. In this moment in your life, whatever it is, with your back against the wall, in those moments when they come to us, that reminder is there. We are never alone. And the God who rescues us is active with us. He said to the Israelites, it's okay. I know where you are. I haven't forgotten you. And I will bring you through. And so Moses raises his staff and the waters part. And it takes all night. And it's dark. And they have to pass through these walls of water. But God delivers them. And if you read the story, they go from this despair to this great celebration. And Exodus chapter 15. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And so there's this, and that's in chapter 15. The very last verse of chapter 14 says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. And so there comes that moment when we really begin to realize that God does care about us. Yeah, life can be hard, and we live in a world where there is a great deal of mourning and despair. But God really loves us. He cares about us. He is present with us, and he has the power to rescue us. That's the God we serve and we know. There will be moments when our backs are against the wall. In this moment in the world, the gospel has its back against the wall. The world does not look to us for help or for hope. The world is in a bad way, but our God still cares. He is still present. He's still acting to rescue his creation, and he invites us to be part of that story in the dark night, to be still and to believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that you never leave us alone, but that you are present with us. And Lord, give us courage to live in the despair, in the mourning, and the suffering of our world. Help us not to be afraid or overcome by the situation. When things look desperate, help us to believe and to trust, to sense your presence, to find those reminders that we are not alone, that we might watch for your presence. Help us to believe today that you are big enough for our own lives and for our world, to turn our eyes toward Jesus and to know that you are worth it, that the God who rescued us from sin will also rescue us from these moments. We thank you, Father, for your promises. In Jesus' name.